Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, coming up in just a little bit, we are going to play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Why don't we spend a little bit of time talking about wide receivers? Now, we are exactly 1 week away from Rashee Rice being able to practice again with the Kansas City Chiefs. 1 week away from him getting back onto the field. Now, I don't know if he started this or Chiefs Twitter started this. I don't know. I don't follow Rashee Rice on the social medias. But he tweeted, everybody's got to eat. And that's kind of been the moniker of the team. Now, I got to call my dear friend and my brother, Rob Brenton, to the front of the stage here because low-key, Rob be hating a little bit. And y'all be letting Rob slide on a day-by-day, game-by-game basis. I get so much hate on the text line, and you guys are always picking and coming after me that y'all let Rob's hate go undetected, and I'm hip to your game, so sometimes I got to point it out. So Rob came up to me today, and he was like, you see this stupid, everybody's got to eat. I'm like, what do you mean? He was like, Rashee Rice just tweeted it. Everybody on my timeline's going crazy about it. I'm like, what's the problem? I don't know. It just seems like a Twitter acronym hashtag. And he was like, I hate those things. I looked at Rob and I said, Rob, you cheer for Kansas basketball. You guys always have a stupid acronym. I've never heard you come in here and be mad at Thomas Robinson for tweeting FOE or all the silly little things that you guys have put out there before. Rob, see, this is a little hateration. This is what I'm talking about. Let Darren Peterson come up with some stupid hashtag this basketball season. You will absolutely be hashtagging whatever silly thing Darren Peterson is promoting. So now, don't be mad that you're not a part of the everybody gotta eat. You're not eating? I try to make sure you eat on this show. Maybe you're trying to send some kind of message to me that you're not eating. But you can't hate on Chiefs Twitter having a hashtag when you cheer for Kansas basketball. When y'all come up, I remember there was a time y'all was calling it KUCMB. It's been a lot of nonsense coming from that side with the acronym. I would say you love an acronym.
So first off, there was a time in my life where I was all about FOE and all those things.
For sure, of course.
I was also in my 20s. I was in college. I was young and dumb.
Yeah, the only reason you guys didn't like an acronym last year is because you hated your basketball team.
Yeah, the acronym was Bench Hunter Dickinson.
DNP is what it's
DNP. Secondarily, I will just say this about the hashtag EGE that catches fire on Chiefs Twitter, and this is 100% just hate, and that's fine. He hasn't played a snap this season.
I know, right? Why now everybody else is eating, and they're leaving him a little bit of food so he can eat.
if Darren Peterson goes out and balls out against North Carolina and then has the hashtag, you know, WB, we back, of course I'm going to tweet it.
That's crazy.
But you know what? At least he will have played a minute before he starts getting everyone all riled up over a hashtag. And I'm also mad because I'm old and washed. I had to Google, what does EGE mean? Like, I just know
because you're not hip. That's your problem. You realize you're not hip anymore. You realize that you're outside the demographic.
I had to do my Googles like a curmudgeon. It was the worst.
Yeah. You know what, man? If y'all happy with EGE, everybody got to eat, man, I'm happy for you. Coming up in a little bit, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. He'll join us on the show. I do want to talk about this before we play our conversation with Patrick. Tyquan Thornton is exactly what people thought Sky Moore was going to be. Like, almost exactly what people thought he was going to be. I don't think many people thought that Sky Moore was going to be your traditional number one wide receiver. At least that's not how I remember it. People were comparing him to a Julian Edelman. He was going to end up being that kind of receiver. Now, I know it ended up being a roundabout way, but, I mean, didn't it all kind of work out in the end? Let me explain. Sky Moore was drafted in 2022. He was a second-round pick. He was the 54th overall pick. Do you guys know when Tyquan Thornton got drafted? He got drafted in 2022 in the second round, and he was the 50th pick. Now, you can't go back and get the time back. And if you had drafted Tyquan Thornton from the beginning, you certainly would have been in a better situation, or if you had moved up to go get him. But, like, in the end, didn't things kind of end up in a positive for the Chiefs? Like, they got, I think, exactly what they wanted to get with Tyquan or with Sky Moore. You got a very productive number three option for your team. If you were telling me that in a week you were going to have Rashee Rice as your one, Xavier Worthy as your number two, and Tyquan Thornton as a 25-year-old, his birthday was just in August, he's 25 years old, now entering the prime of his career, and that's your pass group. That's not a bad pass group. I mean, that's not the best in the National Football League, but you certainly can win with that. And now you got Hollywood Brown as your four. You got Juju as your five. You got Breshard Smith emerging as a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. You got to be really excited about this. Now, I think the question is, if you really want to play this thing out, is Tyquan Thornton, if he keeps having the season that he is having, he is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. Now, you would like to think that Kansas City would just pay the money to bring him back, but he certainly deserved a raise. Right now, he's making $1.1 million. He got no guaranteed money. He got a small little workout bonus, but he has certainly earned it. We're talking about now, if you're another team, why would you not give Tyquan Thornton a multiple-year contract? I think you are now seeing it was much more the quarterback. It was much more the Patriots. And if you put him in a good situation at 25, 26 years old, entering theoretically the prime of his career, then he's a pretty productive player. So I would say the contract that the Chiefs gave to Hollywood Brown, I don't know why that money just wouldn't be Tyquan Thornton's next year. You've shown that you're willing to pay somewhere between $8 to $10 million for that player. That's what I think Tyquan Thornton might end up being worth at the end of the season. He seems like a guy that's worth a two-year, $16 million deal. Somebody's going to give it to him. Why wouldn't it be the Chiefs next year?
I mean, I understand your point. I think there's two different conversations at play here. One, I think your point about found money, basically, with Tyquan Thornton and getting everything out of Tyquan Thornton that they anticipate getting out of Sky Moore is 100%, and it is all the credit in the world to Brett Veach. This was a guy that not only did not hit the breaking news sounder when they signed him because it was a futures contract or a practice squad contract in December of last season, it felt like a ho-hum, who-cares type of move, and I shudder to think about what this offense looks like if he wasn't in it. So credit to everyone involved for finding and making the most out of Tyquan Thornton. You're right. They do get to cover their loss a little bit with Sky Moore being a miss by having Tyquan Thornton on the roster. I do think there's a second conversation at play, though, which you kind of touched on there. The Chiefs need to keep finding these type of players, making these type of players, and then walking away from these type of players. Like, Tyquan Thornton is better than Justin Watson, but Justin Watson's another guy who falls into this category of a guy the Chiefs found, they brought in for literally no money, they got the absolute most out of his ability, and then they walked, and now I don't know if Justin Watson is doing anything this season for the Texans. So, great find, good job getting the most out of him. You try to retain him at the end of the season, but if you can't, it's no harm, no foul, because you have now shown you can make this player happen in this offense with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be against. Now, I don't think that Tyquan Thornton's going to break the bank for anybody. I think he's proven that he's a capable wide receiver number three option for you. And you know I say this all the time. We talk about putting weapons around Pat and giving Pat everything that he needs. I mean, keeping the continuity. I mean, you can have another really productive passing group for the next 18 months or so. Rice is under a rookie deal. Worthy is under a rookie deal. Tyquan Thornton's 26 years old. And I would presume, now if we're going to play this thing forward just a little bit and we'll play Patrick Mahomes here coming up in a bit, I mean, they're going to have to do something at running back at the end of the season. This isn't even me complaining about the running back group. They have three running backs on one-year contracts. The only running back that they have under contract for next year is Breshard Smith. They got to do something next year at the position. Like, you can have a really solid, strong nucleus of young players in a very, very short period of time without really doing a lot. Pay Tyquan Thornton what I think the market's going to be. I think the market's around 2 for $12 for him. You go get you a running back next year. Man, you got a really solid nucleus of guys between 24 and 26 years old. These are the kind of players that I want the Chiefs to keep taking chances on. I want the Chiefs to keep taking chances on guys that maybe didn't work for another organization, but you bring them here. They were technically still on their rookie deal. You got Tyquan Thornton for $1 million. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, then you're happy to move on. I mean, you're going to miss these more times than not, but this is the same kind of lever pull that you had with Justin Ross. This is the same lever pull that you've done with Emmanuel Ogba and some of those other players. You're not going to hit home runs every time, but when you do with a player like Tyquan Thornton, if you're telling me that you get a player this season, let's say he has 650 yards, I bet you if you and I look up 650-yard wide receivers this year, very few of them are going to be on a, I guess, second contract, failed in this kind of way. They're either going to be a proven guy or a guy that's on a rookie deal. Like, you found somebody right there in that sweet spot. He was a guy that got cut, didn't have a home. You brought him in. You put him on your practice squad. You then kept him through the following season. And look how it's rewarded you. You just got to always be taking those chances and always trying to find those very productive players that seemingly aren't going to cost you anything. As we talk about some players who are maybe getting paid and not living up to the contract, Tyquan Thornton is the reverse. He's a guy that's making $1.1 million and giving you $8, $9 million production. That's the kind of players that they need to continue to take chances on. All right, Rob, hit the music.
He's QB1.
And at quarterback from Texas Tech, number 15, Patrick Mahomes.
He's a three-time Super Bowl champion.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet.
Two-time MVP and three-time Super Bowl MVP.
Patrick Mahomes with Mahomes magic. Starting left, peeling right. Three drives, three touchdowns for the Chiefs.
And you can hear him right here every week with CDOT, exclusively on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
Every week we are joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, and his appearance on The Drive is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to the Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Our conversation started with, he was on Monday Night Countdown. It was Patrick Mahomes, Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce, and Coach Reed. Our conversation started with, how cool was it to be a part of that grouping?
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I mean, obviously, those are guys that are going to be in Canton one day, and to be able to have conversation with them, and obviously, they're all friends of mine, and so Really cool just to get the inside, and obviously the stuff on camera is awesome, but the stuff behind the scenes is even better. And so honored to call them friends and my coach and my teammate.
I went back and looked this up. Do you remember your first Sunday night football game at Arrowhead? Because I completely forgot when it was. Do you remember it?
No, only one I can think of is like the Bengals one. I don't know if that was the first one, though. That was one of the early ones in my career.
That was your first. You guys won 45-10. I looked this up. You threw for 4 touchdown passes. Kareem Hunt led you guys in rushing, and Travis Kelce led you guys in receiving. This was in your first year as a starter in 2018. Kareem Hunt leading you guys in rushing, and Travis Kelce leading you guys in receiving. Some things never change.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've had a good run, so I mean, obviously that was a good night, so hopefully we can do something to replicate that. But I mean, we're going up against a great Lions team, so I think it'll be a tough challenge for us, but we're excited for it.
You talked about this before, that 3:25 is your favorite time, but what is it like to play under the lights at night at Arrowhead?
It's really cool. I mean, obviously the fans and like how loud they are and how passionate they are. But I think just the stadium and just being in the stadium and the whole environment. I mean, you can feel the history of the game. You can feel the history of the stadium. And so to be able to come out of the tunnel and be at Arrowhead, a night game, it's a thing that I'll never get tired of, and something that I'll cherish those memories later on in life.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, I feel like we were in the exact same place the last time that you guys were in a home game. You guys were 1-2, and it was the difference in being 2-2 and then 1-3. I feel like we're in the exact same place heading into this matchup against the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go against another good football team and a game that we really need to win. And so it's going to take us just being the best that we could possibly be. I think we've done it in spurts throughout the regular season so far, but we got to be better at being consistent through an entire game from the beginning to the end, and that's what it's going to take in order to win this football game.
What is it about the Lions' offense that makes them so dynamic?
Yeah, I mean, they got a lot of great players, and they have a really good scheme. So, I mean, I think they do a great job. I mean, obviously, they can run the ball, they can pass the ball. Jared's done a great job of distributing the ball to all their different playmakers, and when you have that many good players and that good of a scheme, it's hard to account for, and they've done a good job of that these last few years.
Is it frustrating for you to see the improvements and growth that you guys have had in the team, but maybe not that being reflective in the record? I think the offense has had a great transformation over the course of the season so far, but you guys sit here in 2-3. Is it frustrating to see the progress that you guys are having on a day-to-day basis, but that not being reflective in the record?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's just frustrating to lose in general. So, I mean, I think obviously all you can do is continue to get better and better. But more than that, I think obviously we've done a lot of things positively offensively, but we got to make the winning plays. If you look at all our losses, if it's the interceptions down in the red zone or a couple plays here and there, we haven't made those winning plays offensively. And so I think that's something that we can improve on. And if we do that, I think with how we're playing offensively the rest of the way, that we can be a high-powered offense and help take pressure off our defense so they can go out there and do what they need to do.
You personally, and you, a lot of guys on your team, you've been through the ups and downs of a season, so I don't think that you personally are in a panic mode. How are you keeping guys kind of even keel that haven't been through the battles, haven't been through the ups and downs, that just because we're 2-3, there's still obviously a lot of time to turn this thing around?
Yeah, I mean, all you can do is focus on the day. You know, we've kind of had all types of different seasons over my tenure, but we've always figured it out at some point. And so we're going to go to work like we always do, try to keep up the intensity, get better at executing and cleaning up the penalties and the little things that we've done throughout the beginning of this year. But at the end of the day, man, we got to go out there and just execute and go out there and prove it on Sundays. And we haven't been able to make those winning plays, and we got to find a way to make those plays. And all we can do is focus on today's practice and focus on this week against the Lions.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, let's go back to the Monday night game. Can you take us through the interception? Can you take us through what you saw? Can you take us through the play?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they were in that kind of a cover zero type look, and we had after just film and stuff like that, when they gotten inside that 5-10 yard area, they haven't shown what we call poppers, where guys blitz and then they pop back out, and that's something they did more in the field, and so we were alert for that in the field. But obviously, I got to the check that I believe was going to be the right play, and even though that I hadn't seen it on film, I got to still see the throw before I throw it. So I got to the check, and we got Juju wide open, and we thought they might do what they did, which is two guys take one of our receivers. But you got to still see the guy in front of Juju and try to progress to the next route. So obviously can't make that mistake in that type of game. And then after that, I got to find a way to get them down on a tackle or slow them down for my teammates to get there and make that tackle, because that was a 14-point swing, and it obviously was costly, and it kind of cost us the game.
I was going to ask you about that tackle. What are you advised to do in this situation? Obviously, you're a very important player. No one wants you to get injured on that play. Are you trying to bring them down? Are you trying to slow them down, push them out of bounds? Like, what's your thought process when that's happening?
No, I mean, I've never been advised anything else other than get the guy down. I mean, I'm a football player at the end of the day, and I made the mistake, so I got to find a way to make the tackle. And he got me with a good move, and I wasn't able to get anything on him to slow him down enough for the other guys to get there. But when you're kind of in that quarterback position on interceptions, it's kind of like playing safety. You're kind of the last line of defense, and if you don't make the play, you got to at least slow him down for others to get there to make the play.
Patrick, I don't feel like a lot of people are going to reference this, and I get it, you guys lost the game, but the drive that you guys put together for your last offensive drive where you got a complete, you know, set of time, that was like a really good drive. What do you think made that drive so successful?
Yeah, I think guys just accepted the challenge. You know, we've been in those situations before, but it was good to see guys accept the challenge of kind of dealing with some of the adversity that we had dealt with the interceptions and the stalling out drives that we had in that second half, and guys to step up and say, we need a touchdown, let's go get a touchdown. And we did a great job. The offensive line did a great job protecting in that situation. The guys got open down the field, and then we didn't hurt ourselves with penalties or anything like that. So that showcases what we can be, but we got to do that more consistently throughout an entire game.
I feel like watching a lot of these shows that you've been featured in, I've seen you train, I know the kind of work that you put in, and when you had that run where you get away from the defense, I felt like I had that one Leonardo DiCaprio gif, like, ooh, I've seen him work on that before.
Yeah, no, I prepare for this stuff, and I know I might not be like the number one rusher or anything like that, but I always prepare myself that I can get out of trouble if I need to, and whenever it's called for, I try to use my legs and use my mobility to go out there and make things happen.
Talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a couple more minutes. Patrick, what do you make of the AFC right now and the amount of parity that appears to exist? Also in the division, this feels like you guys are in the middle of a very difficult race with three teams that could possibly win this thing.
Yeah, I think the AFC just in general, really in the NFL just in general, I mean, there's so much parity, and Coach Reed says it like every year, but he's been huge on it. And all these games come down to one-score games for the most part, and it's about who can execute at the higher level and win those games. And we've done a good job of doing that throughout our my career here, but we haven't done that this year, and that's the difference of being in a place that you want to be in and then being in a place where you don't want to be. And so we got to be better at these one-score games, finding ways to win the game. And that comes with execution, and we got to continue to get better and better at that sooner rather than later.
You and I haven't really got a chance to talk about it. Your thoughts on the kickoff rule, are you a fan of it? Do you like it? Do you not like it? What do you make of the new kickoff rules?
It just is what it is. I'm not really partial either way. I'm just kind of just play the game and however the rules are presented. The rules are always changing a little bit here and there, and they're trying to make football safe, the safest they can be, but also keep the integrity of the game, and I just play it with whatever the rules are when I show up that season.
Yeah, I was just curious, I guess, how it affects offenses, because, you know, one mistake, the ball can be on the 40-yard line, and just starting the ball on the 40-yard line is just such a tremendous advantage. I was just curious, from an offensive perspective, how do you guys attack it with field position being so different this year?
Yeah, I mean, I just play well with wherever we end up at. You know, I think it makes special teams important. I think that's more important than maybe these last few years with the kickoffs kind of going through the back of the end zone. So I think it makes you have to execute high on special teams, and I feel like we have one of the best special teams out there, and I'm sure they're going to clean some stuff up from this last week. But overall, I feel like it's an advantage for us as far as the kickoffs and the returners that we have and the coaches that we have, that we can use that to our advantage. We just got to be better than we were this last week.
Last two things here. As you guys begin a new week, as you guys begin a practice week, what's your mindset going into a very important home game for you guys and a very important home stretch with three straight home games?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of time to go. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, we've gotten three losses now, and like you said, it's a very tight, contested division and AFC, and so there's no more waiting around. We're playing a really good football team this week that plays extremely hard, and we know it's going to be a great challenge, but we got to match the intensity. We got to match the opportunity and go out there and find a way to win the football game no matter what it takes.
I'll get you out of here with this last question. One of the big talking points on the show from fans yesterday was about Chris Jones on the final defensive play of the game. I'm curious, just as one of the leaders and he also being one of the leaders on the team, how do you guys talk about accountability? How do you guys hold each other accountable in those situations?
Yeah, I mean, I believe in Chris Jones no matter what, man. He's done so much for this team and for this organization, being a leader, and I think people don't even understand how much of a leader he is on this team. But he's a guy that's kind of made us go throughout my career, and I know in big moments he's going to make big plays. And so people always look back and see stuff after losses and stuff like that, and they judge that stuff, but I judge the guy and the character he brings into the building every single day.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. They are on Sunday Night Football this week against the Detroit Lions. Patrick, man, really appreciate your time. Catch up with you next week.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Absolutely. That is our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. The appearance for Patrick Mahomes on the drive is brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Center. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to the Telly. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. Coming up on the other side, we'll play for you what Andy Reid had to say about Chris Jones. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, a show that prides itself on getting it right.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, a couple of things that I want to get to in this segment. The first thing that I would like to play for you guys is this is Andy Reid and his message to Chris Jones after the final play, at least on defense for the Chiefs on Monday Night Football.
Well, you can't think that the guy's down. I mean, you can't think that. You got to just play the play. He knows. I mean, he's been around this thing a long time, so that's really what it came down to.
One thing that I'm going to highlight in this matchup, and I imagine is just going to be a major talking point, is, man, the Chiefs really need Chris Jones this week. So I don't care what needs to happen. If you feel like deleting your social media is what you need to do, that's perfectly fine. If you needed to have a sit down with the leadership council of the team, if Andy had to chew you out, whatever it is. But I don't know if they can beat the Detroit Lions if they don't get a good version of Chris Jones. This is the most complete team offensively that I think you can play in the National Football League.
I think they're more complete than Buffalo offensively. I mean, they have the best 1-2 punch at running back. They've got a legitimate number one receiver in Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jameson Williams has finally figured things out. They've got a very good tight end in Sam Laporta. This is an offense that can do everything. Better than Philadelphia, better than Buffalo. This is the number one offense in the league. If you don't get a good version of Chris Jones, especially with their offensive line perceived to be maybe the best in the National Football League, I just don't know if you can win this game against them. This is a game that you would have to expect that the Lions are going to put up points. They put up points on everybody. So I know in the past I've said the Chiefs got to turn this into a rock fight and try to win this game 21-17. I don't think you're beating Detroit 21-17. You need to try to beat them 31-28. This has to be a 28-24, 28-27 kind of game. In my opinion, you were playing the second best team in the league. I would put Buffalo number one. I'd put Detroit number two. But if you put Detroit number one, I wouldn't be mad at you if that's how you've done it. But back to Chris Jones, you need Chris Jones refocused and re-engaged for this matchup. And if you are the competitor that I believe Chris Jones is, just because you're not on social media doesn't mean that you don't know what people are saying on social media about you. That was a theme of the press conference. Mahomes got asked about it. Andy got asked about it. I mean, it's out there. People have seen it, the last play. They've seen your effort. I'm sure that it's come up in the film. You know how you're supposed to handle these situations, how you need to play. And if you do that kind of stuff against the Lions, they will embarrass you on Sunday Night Football and come into your house with their offense and put 35, 38 points against you. They're capable of doing that. So the Chiefs need the best version of Chris Jones. However you get there today, that's what you need to go out there and win this game.
I feel like time will tell. The answer will come later. But I feel like the deleting social media thing is, we're making a big deal about it now because it happened this week. But if he gets refocused, if he comes out and he is the Chris Jones that we saw 2-3 years ago, or even at times last year, a dominant force, and he's a problem for the Lions, who, by the way, had their center retire just ahead of training camp, so he has a chance to feast. If he's that guy on Sunday and then goes out and does it again against the Raiders, suddenly we're talking about, hey, Chris Jones just needed to refocus, get re-energized, get away from the fan base for a little bit, get out of his own head, and just get to work. That's the narrative. But if he goes out and has another, I don't want to say poor, but iffy performance against the Lions, if he gets pushed around and then he's kind of a no-show against the Raiders, you know how fans are going to play this. They're going to say that he has thin skin to lead social media because he's not up to his own standards. Like, I think the social media story is interesting only because the narrative of what happened will change depending on his play the next couple weeks. Or maybe he'll play great and come back to social media and tweet something like, hey, I'm back. And then fans will be like, oh, look, Chris Jones is back. We love it. It'll just, it's interesting to see what will play out, but I don't love the idea of deleting social media right now.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. This is where I would say, so on the text line, someone says, dude, deleting your social media is such a weak-looking move. Now, I don't want you guys to take this the wrong way, but I think the one place that I can identify with their job is here. There are very little benefits to being on social media. Our job is a little bit different. Like, I use social media to collect information and read stories. Like, I kind of have to be on there for the job. But I could completely understand how, if you're a football player, I could understand how you can make the determination, you know what, for this week, I don't need to be on there. It is a constant barrage of people telling you that you're not good. And I could understand how, in your free time on your phone, you just don't want to read it. You just don't want to read it. So I don't care what Tim and Olathe feels about you deleting your Twitter or Instagram. Whatever you feel like you need to do to have a certain level of peace in your personal life is perfectly fine with me. I don't care about that. This needs to be a conversation that needs to be had between the power structure of the Kansas City Chiefs, and the accountability needs to happen from the coaching staff. And at some point, you as a professional, you as one of the greatest players to ever play in your position, a guy that we think is going to Canton, Ohio, you need to play better than you played on Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. Point blank, period. Your team needs you. Like, some of that accountability we keep, I think now we have turned Eric Bieniemy into like this master motivator. Like, some of this just has to come from you guys. It's got to come from Patrick Mahomes. It's got to come from Travis Kelce. It's got to come from Chris Jones. It's got to come from Harrison Butker. It's got to come from guys who have played in and won big games. And you would think, just because these guys have worked together for so long, there has to be a mutual respect that you got to be able to go to the next guy and tell him, hey, you got to pick it up. Hey, Pat, you can't make that throw. That's a relationship that you got to build up over time. Hey, Travis, you got to turn your head quicker. You can't drop that ball as we are going into the end zone against Philadelphia. Hey, Harrison, we need you here. So if you haven't built that up for a team that at least we believe, I'm not on their team, but we see it, that seem to have good camaraderie, seem to have good chemistry, seem to all be working on one accord, man, some of that stuff has to be just self-motivating. Some of that has to be self-accountability, and not like you personally. I mean just within your group and being able to go to the next man and tell him, do your job. At the end of the game against the Chargers, that's what Drew Tranquil is doing. You can read his mouth. He took his helmet off and told Chris Jones, when you do that, it leaves the rest of us out to dry. Remember, that was the Patriots' mantra. Do your job. Your job does not involve you being on social media if you're Chris Jones. It doesn't. I've told you all the time, I don't really see any benefits for professional athletes to be on there. If you're on there promoting your brand, that's one thing. You going back and forth with fans and replying to them, I just don't know how that's productive and how that helps you be a better football player. It seems like it's only a negative, because it is 80% of the people telling you that you suck. So you don't got to be on there. So I don't really have any problem with him deleting his social media. I wouldn't tell you to get back on social media. You're going to make $150 million in your life. Live your life. Have somebody else run your social media account. That's what I would tell you. Limit your comments on Instagram and get off Twitter would be my advice. I don't have any problem with Chris Jones if that's what he decided to do. None at all. Coming up on the other side, Rob, let's talk about the special teams a little bit, because, I mean, I would say in every phase, their team got let down by something. On offense, even though that was one of their better offensive games, when you give up a pick six and you take 7 points off the board and now it becomes seven from the other side, your offense made a critical mistake. The defense at the end of the game and special teams also made some critical mistakes. We talked about Harrison Butker yesterday. He was not the only person that let them down in the special teams department. We'll get to that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with CDOT. Tune in as Nate Taylor of ESPN joins the show in studio every Friday at 4 on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. The Drive, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We were talking about Chris Jones and him deleting his social media. We'll move on from this in a bit, but I just want to reply to the text. So someone sent in a text earlier that said, deleting your social media is such a weak move. I don't really have a problem with it. Now, again, I'm not saying that my job is like their job, but if there's one part of their job that I can relate to, it's people tweeting and talking to you on social media. I just don't have an issue with it. The gentleman replies and says, the act itself is acknowledging that you're bothered. Give me the guy who can just put his head down and deal with it despite the noise. What I'm telling you is I think everybody is like this. I just think he did it in a much more public way. I mean, I know Nick Wright pretty well. I think you guys know this. Nick does not read his mentions. He does not read them, does not go on there. I think everybody kind of deals with this in a very different way if you are in this field and you live in a job that's very, very public. Again, I'm not trying to make it seem like it, but I think this is one of those things that is very hard for people to understand if you're not in it. Because for the average person, when you go on the internet, people just aren't talking about you. Not to say you're not important, but random people are not talking about you. You are not a radio topic. You are not a form of conversation on social media. So I can completely understand. And if you have 500 followers, that's one thing. Chris Jones has 300,000 followers. 300,000. So I can only imagine the amount of tweets and direct messages and things that you get. I think everybody that is in this field just needs a break. At least once a month, I just have I'm not going to use my phone this weekend. I'm just going to live my life regular. I don't need to take any pictures. I don't need to text. I don't need to tweet. Like, I'll know what's going on, but I don't need to be on there in that way. I think that's a very normal way of feeling. So there are certainly a lot of things I think to be critical of when it comes to Chris Jones. I don't think just determining for however long it is, a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is, hey, I'm spending too much time on there and I just don't want it. I try to live my life through this very, very simple lens. And I try to tell other people who are in this field the same exact thing. I try not to spend my life worried about people who only exist when I'm on the phone. If I don't know you in real life and I can't talk to you, I can't text you, I don't have your number, I can't FaceTime you, I can't go over there, like we can't spend one-on-one time and the only time that we talk is on Twitter or Instagram, I can't let you have that much control over my life. So if that means that I need to just delete the app, if I need to not be on here for a period of time, that's perfectly fine. That's what I got to do. So if that's what Chris Jones feels like he needs to do, hey, I don't need to be on here right now. I got personal stuff going on. I got professional stuff going on. Maybe I shouldn't spend my time on Twitter. That is just an inherently negative place. I don't got any issues with Chris Jones doing that. Not at all. Coming up at the top of the hour, I got a question to ask you guys. Regarding the Chiefs, we'll get to that coming up in just a bit. I understand problems with the offense at times. I think the easiest thing for us to do as fans, and we all do it, is criticize play calling. This is one of those things, if you want my hot take soapbox issue, I think because a lot of us grew up playing Madden, a lot of us think that we could call plays. You think about it. You've been an offensive coordinator now for 30 years. You were an offensive coordinator back in Tecmo. You've been playing Madden for this whole time, college football. You feel like you could call plays. We all feel that way. Man, give me that playbook. Man, yes, we all feel like we could do it. I'm assuming it's a lot harder than that. So I think there is a certain measure of criticism that comes with being the offensive coordinator. Nobody thinks their team is good at calling plays because it's an easy thing to criticize. A lot of the criticism that has been directed towards Matt Nagy, which I think is deserved at times, some of the criticism that's been directed towards Andy Reid, which also is deserved at times, we don't have nearly that amount of smoke for their special teams coach. Their special teams gets an F, in my opinion, for Monday night. It's not the reason they lost. It's one of the reasons they lost. They had four straight kickoffs in which they had a penalty. Their kicker kicked the ball out of bounds on the final kick of the game. their special teams did not help them in any capacity. If you look at football as three phases, and even if you think that this other phase is, I don't know, 10, 20%, I don't want to make it seem like it's 33, 33, 33, that it's as equal as offense and defense, but it's certainly a portion of the game. Whatever percentage that you think special teams is, the Chiefs got a zero in that department. And again, they are not good enough to overcome all of these things. And it's too competitive. There's too much parity in all of this. It's already a coin flip 51-49 kind of game. But if you're going to commit 14 penalties, if you're going to pretty routinely, when you have a big kick return, when Bashard Smith gets to the 41-yard line, well, oh, it's holding. So now that drive starts at the 14-yard line as opposed to the 41-yard line. They do that routinely. So I understand the frustration at Matt Nagy, and there should be frustration. I get it when it comes to Andy Reid. Dave Tolb needs to stand in some of that this week because he did not have their special get help them go on the road and win a game. Their special teams failed them on Monday night. He needs to stand in some of that criticism too.
I feel like now tomorrow the coordinators talk to the media, and tomorrow will be interesting because I think Steve Spagnuolo is going to have some tough questions to answer about why Noel Williams was watching the game like most fans were, just with a really good seat. And Dave Tobe's going to have some difficult questions to your point because we have been hard on Butker. Me, you, text line, the fans. He has been not as good as he has been in years past. But it wasn't just Butker on Monday night that let the Chiefs down. Jack Cochran's name should never come up on this show. Like, no disrespect to Jack Cochran. I'm sure he's a fine individual. He should either
I don't even think you got to say no disrespect. Jack Cochran is not a player that we should ever be talking about. We should never have a topic centered around if Jay Cochran's name comes up, there it is only two extremes. Either you played exceptionally well, you forced two fumbles, or you did what you did on Sunday where you had three penalties in the game. Like, the margin of error is just so you can, come on now. You can't do that. Hey, no, not at all.
So, and the special teams have kind of been bad a little bit throughout the season. Like, so I know they're going to talk tomorrow. I know they're going to coach speak tomorrow, but everyone had a hand in the loss on Monday night. Everyone's had a hand in the problems they've had this season. Like, the same way that the Chiefs tell us, hey, we're all in this together, we all got to fix it together. Yeah, it is everyone. It's got to be Dave Tobe getting his group to tighten up. Steve Spagnuolo needs to be airtight with his group. Andy Reid in the offense and Matt Nagy, he needs to look like Monday night more often than it looks like Sunday night against the Giants. Like, it is going to take a little bit of everyone. And to your three phases point, you're right. It's not 33, 33, 33. But if it's
something,
if the one side is just a nothing burger, you are in big trouble because what's the saying? It's the things in the regular season that get you beat in the postseason. Right now, I can identify them as special teams. That's what will get the Chiefs beat.
Yeah, for sure. I want to read this text really quickly, and we can put the social media conversation to bed. Someone just texted in, see, I hear what you're saying about social media, but didn't you say that players need to be held accountable, though? Yeah, absolutely. I just don't think that accountability is coming from Chiefs fan 73 on Twitter. I just wouldn't call that accountability. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's criticism. I think most of the time it's negativity. I don't think that's what accountability is. I think we know what accountability is. I just don't think you thumbing through your mentions, I don't think that's accountability. Like, there's some things that I think you guys hold me accountable for. Like, there is a measure of research that needs to be done, so I'm not here talking out of my arse. Sometimes it's a, hey, that fact you said is wrong. I would say that's accountability. I read the text line. That ain't all it is. And that's fine. Like, that's the life that I signed up for. But I think we got to be real in you snapping at players and firing at players. What is, I would say, productive and part of the game? Or you cross the line and I could understand why a player in their free time just, you shouldn't sit here at your locker reading this. And we know they read it. It's impossible. It is impossible to tell me that there's a group of people who are always talking about you and you 100% of the time turn it off. I just don't think that's human nature. So if you feel like, hey, I got to get off Twitter to accomplish that, then I got no problem with you. This is the question that I want to ask you guys heading into the 4 o'clock hour. I'm kind of in a fill in the blank mood. We did one yesterday. I've got another one. I want you to fill in the blank. I want you to fill in the Chiefs are a blank team. I told Rob to do this. I told Rob to not tell me his answer. I'll give you my answer. We'll hear it in real time. The Chiefs are a blank team. I'm curious what you guys think. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.